As I was sitting here behind the lectern, not exactly invisible, but the murmurings within the congregation sounded to me like the murmuring of the Spirit, who after all is the one who is responsible for Koinonia, or what we call in English fellowship. The stuff Paul talks about in the Philippian letter, urging us to be of one mind and one spirit. So in that spirit, the murmuring of the Spirit having prepared us for this, let us approach God in worship. The Lord be with you. We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing to him, come us, let us with our Lord arise. This is Sunday, and it is the day in which we constantly remember that our Lord rose from the death, even as we remember his going to death in communion. You declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and offering grace. Grant us the fullness of your grace that we with awe and wonder may strive to embrace the whole of the salvation you offer as we take on that mind which is to be found in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you call us to listen to your teaching, to attune our ears to your word. For your story is of old, yours are parables of things past, the stuff of our tradition, what we have heard and known about, what we have learned from our ancestors. These are stories of your activity in our history, stories not to be hidden from our children or our grandchildren. And so we gather in your presence to hear your story and to praise you for your wonderful works. We come, O God, in humble prayer, acknowledging our reluctance to be generous in love and grace. O God of compassion, have mercy upon us as we make our confession. How often we do not do what we intended, and what we confess is not how we act. We hear your word preached and we give our assent, but faith is found wanting when it comes to obey. We are confronted by ideological and political conflict. We are urged to follow the majority when so many of our community's values contradict your vision for social well-being. Our desires are at odds with what you command. Decisions are called for, and we default on our promise of loyalty to you. O Christ, have mercy upon us and strengthen us so that we can be trusted as you are. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And so, as our Lord calls us, believe the good news of the gospel. God has chosen not to condemn, but in Christ Jesus to offer us salvation, of forgiveness and transformation. And so we say with joy in our hearts, thanks be to God. Having made peace with God, and God have made peace with us, we share the peace amongst each other. The peace of the Lord be with you. Please turn to those close to you and share the peace. Welcome everybody to this service, which is our communion service, the first Sunday of the month of October, it is, and we are rushing through the year, especially it seems when you reach a certain age, the year seems to pick up much quicker than they used to. But we have come to listen for a word from God, and so let's pray for understanding. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the transformed will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and your kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that to force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like man and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honour of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, dear friends, as you always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I'm away from you. Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose.
That's the word of the Lord.
In here we find the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
The gospel reading today is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 to 32. Jesus came back to the temple, and as he taught, the chief priests and elders came to him and asked, "What right do you have to do these things? Who gave you this right?" Jesus answered them, "I will ask you just one question, and if you give me an answer, I will tell you what right I have to do these things. Where did John's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or from man?" They started to argue among themselves. "What shall we say? If we answer from God, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe John?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of what the people might do, because they are all convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, We don't know. And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you then by what right I do these things. Now, what do you think? There was once a man who had two sons. He went to the older one and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' 'I don't want to,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. 'Yes, sir,' he answered, but he did not go. Which one of the two did what his father wanted?" "The older one," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "I will tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John the Baptist came to you, showing you the right path to take, and you would not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw this, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, a hymn which reflects the Philippian reading.
Thank you.
When Jesus, we have read, entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and asked, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" Now, this response given by Jesus suggests he understood not only theological nuances, but also sociological ones. He understood the difference between power and authority. The chief priests and the elders certainly did. Their carefully thought out reasoning, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd. For all regard John as a prophet." Their reasoning makes it clear. They knew the difference between authority and power. From their perspective, they believed they had the authority. But the crowd at that moment had the power. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Tony Campolo, a sociologist from the USA, pastor and author, who's written about 40 books to do with Christian faith and discipleship, Tony illustrated the difference between authority and power in this way. He reminds us that when we're driving along the highway and we see behind us the red and blue lights flashing, we pull over. Not because we necessarily want to, but because that police officer behind us on the motorbike or in the car has power. He has, most likely these days, even here in Australia, a gun. He can call for backup. He can force us off the road. Now, he doesn't have to use any of this power, but it is enough to know that he has this sort of power that has us obey. On the other hand, Tony said, his mother did not have much power. A slight Italian woman whom he claims he could have just put up, picked up and put to the side and walked past her. But when she asked him to do something, he did it. It wasn't because of her power, it was because of her authority. It was because of the thousand things he had done for him across the years that left him beholden to her. Her love, as she had demonstrated it, was the thing that made him want to please her. As is true in all relationships, when your relationship is based on love, you lose power. It's possible for the other person to disappoint you, or to hurt you, or to spurn you, to make you look foolish. Of course, the reverse also applies. You can disappoint, hurt, or embarrass the other. This is exactly the kind of authority that God wields, the authority of supreme sacrifice and love. Letting go of power as we understand it. Note in the parable Jesus told, one son superficially acknowledges the authority of his father to ask him to work for him. This acknowledges causes him just to say, "Oh, of course." The second son says a blunt no to his father's request. Just no to his face. But then when he is by himself, he repents of his refusing and turns around and does what has been asked. The text gives no clue why this is so. What would cause him to revise his response? It was not because of any threat that he heard. He doesn't seem to be in fear. Nothing untoward has happened to him, and he said no. Unlike the other son, the prodigal one, we recall from Luke 15, in another of Jesus' parables, in that story, the father also accepted the son's decision to claim his inheritance before he had died. And he gave the younger son what was asked, who then squandered this money and found himself destitute and then came to his senses to repentance. Well, in this story, nothing like that is suggested. But something else, obviously. And maybe the sort of thing that Tony Campala referred to. The sense of loving authority that the father had and the son realized. There's something about real authority that works on us so that we freely decide to fulfill the request because we know it is right. Or because we know we owe it to the person who asked. Or because we know that to not obey would be to betray ourselves. The father did not use force. He did not make either son go. He merely asked them to. The father asked and then accepted their response. This is exactly the sort of authority that God wields. The authority of supreme sacrifice and love. Now we associate this mindset with Jesus, of course, especially on Communion Sunday, when we meet to engage with our Lord through the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup. We remember and respond to his love for us and his supreme sacrifice. The Apostle Paul urges us to be mindful of the other. In this, to copy Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Be always conscious of the other, he argues in the Philippian text. And then goes on to describe Jesus as self-giving as his self-emptying. His kenosis is the word used in Greek. Even to death, the death of a criminal, death on a cross. And we are so used to looking at Jesus as our model that we forget to look beyond him to God. Using rather simplistic language, we often miss the implications of this ancient hymn of awe and praise when it comes to the character of God, the nature of God. Let's recall the beginning of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial of one being with the Father. I've written down in the news what I'm going to say next, so you can take it home and reflect on it during the week. Sometimes we shield ourselves from the unnerving testimony of this hymn by telling ourselves that kenosis is descriptive of Jesus Christ, but not first and last of the very essence of God, this self-emptying. Beginning and end, self-emptying is the essential character of the biblical God. If a single image could capture the character of God in the first creation account, it would be a gracious bow. All of God's acts, blessings and delights in creating are for others. In the Hebrew scriptures, this is typical of God, who is intimately concerned with justice, peace, and the flourishing of all creation and its creatures, who is on high but never remote, who is over all but faithfully and dramatically invested in life on earth. In the very act of creating and in relation to all creatures and creation, the Hebrew witness is to a God who is essentially self-emptying. God does not exploit God's power or embrace hierarchy or rest in privilege autonomy. God is love. Risking God's self constantly with humanity and creation. There is then profound continuity between the Hebrew affirmation of God with and for us and the Christian affirmation of incarnation, which amplifies the Hebrew affirmation to a stunning degree. The point is not that Christ Jesus was in nature God, and so it is stunning that Jesus did not grasp after equality with God, grasping after such autonomy and power. Oh no. The point is that being in nature God, Jesus Christ did not grasp after such equality with God, because such is not God's nature. Jesus didn't grasp after power and authority in this sense. Jesus Christ, being in very nature God, is by that nature, of course, self-emptying, loving for the other, not grasping for the self. God does not use coercion. God only invites, exposing and risking divine love, which eventually will overwhelm, embrace and include all creation and humanity, which began as an expression of self-emptying love in the beginning of beginnings. Amen. We'll be blessed with song, and after this song we will have the sharing of the camp experience, okay? couple of young people went away this week and they're going to share with us their experience.
So on Monday, Boston and I and two others from the Breckenridge Church attended the September camp. It was held at Sunshine Cove for 5 days. Yeah, it has different activities each day. It had high ropes, beach, and worship every morning. The theme they set for the camp was shifted. We kind of learned about that word. And yeah.
This camp has really opened our eyes to how strong God's love is for us, no matter who we are and what we've done. We're constantly asked to find who we are, and by the end, some of us hadn't, and I was completely fine with it. It was a good experience mixing around with other people we had never met before. Definitely an experience that I'd do again. And so I thank you for giving Nessie and myself the chance to attend this camp. Thank you.
Dashing off to avoid answering questions, eh? So what did you learn about, was it shifted, you said, was it? Okay.
Shifted.
Not shifty, shifted. So you want to say something about what that meant? What meaning they brought out of that? I'm still trying to get my mind around that. What are a couple of the Bible texts or stories that were used, for example? Right. It's sort of changing one's position, is it? Or is that the focus of it? Anyway, all right. I'll ask you after the service, okay? And so many other people, yes. I'm still interested to know just how they brought that theme out. Shifted, yes. I suspect it's changing your stand or something. I don't know. That's what comes to my mind, but it may be totally wrong, so I'd like to hear.
Just a couple of things. Hope you got your newsletter. Hope you read your newsletter. Tomorrow you got the music at Sandgate. Is the one at the Salvation Army also tomorrow? Yep, so you got your choice there. Wednesday, Cairn Village. It's Reverend Louis leading that one. So come on there, 10:30. Now, there's no friendship group this month. There was just some issues with getting a date that fixed everyone. So forget the two lines. The friendship group under the Cairn Village doesn't exist. Okay, just a scripture letter, that's all. That's all. Okay, lots of things coming up. Shoeboxes. Samaritan's Food shoeboxes coming up again. Now there's just some information at the front. Now I've found one leaflet. There should be a lot more, and we can get some more for you. So there'll be some of the leaflets at the front that'll tell you what you can put in the shoeboxes, and you'll need that as well. So I'll try to make sure there's some at the front for you. We got a newsletter from the Bald Hills Day School chaplain. Okay, they'll be at morning tea for you to have a look at. Just to bring you up to date with what the chaplain's doing there. Also, the Caboolture. Remember we collected these here for the Caboolture Community Centre. That's coming up as well, and we'll be reminding you of that later on, and what sort of types of things we can put in the boxes at the front. Alright, so that's coming up. Yeah. Journey has come again. New one. This came during the week, so pick one up as you come out. Remember, you're supposed to bring your bag with you each Sunday to take all these things home. So, take one of those when you leave today. Also coming up, ladies' fellowship are having a passion parade. Sunday the 28th. So, 10, 2 o'clock. And I presume it's here. So, put that in the diary. And the next week is our market and car boot sale. And you can't miss that because it's advertised at the front. So keep that free as well. And during the week we'll be using this church to do some sorting. So keep that in your mind as well. And we'll advertise that later on as well. Now, towards the end of November we have our Strengthening Life and Witness consultation. Now you should have had a little leaflet to explain what that is, and you will be told that you all have an opportunity to consult with the Reverend Harley Cooper and Reverend Far Matinga about that. So that will explain it, so please take that and please read it with you as well, and we'll have a schedule up on the board where you can enter your name for that. And just on a personal note, thanks for your thoughts about my dad. He's back at home and recovering as much as he can. Thanks very much.
Let's come before God and pray. O God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, you promise to hear us when we pray to you in his name. Confident in your love and mercy, we offer our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the world in its life and witness. We are mindful that for many Christians, witnessing to their faith, even gathering for worship, has its risks and may result in loss of what's precious, may result in loss of house, in job, may result in prison, even in death. Make us mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ in places where this is their reality. Strengthen them in their faith and strengthen us in our resolve to remember them and to look at ways in which we may assist, so that there will be evidence that in Christ we are indeed one united through your Spirit. We pray that you will guide the rulers of the nations, that you will enable them to set aside fear and greed and vain ambition, that all will recognize that peace is that which brings benefit to the whole of a people and to all peoples. May your Spirit work in ways unimaginable to us in the minds and hearts of those who are in charge of nations, that we may live free from fear of conflict. Lord, we are mindful of the world's hungry and suffering. We are still constantly alerted to the suffering of folk who endured natural disasters, the power of wind and wave, who look like having no home worth calling home for months ahead. We are mindful of tens of thousands of youngsters who are at the brink of starvation because of conflict preventing the growth of crops, the provision and accessibility of food. We think of refugees in the tens of thousands forced to flee war zones or ethnic cleansing. We are very mindful, O God, that we are your people and that in all of us and each of us is your image. May your Spirit strive hard to recognize, have us recognize this, that these things may bring out compassion in us. Lord, we are mindful of the earth on which we live. You created this to be our home. And in so many ways, through our avarice and greed, we have polluted it. And we continue to pollute it in spite of the evidence of what are the consequences of the sorts of things we seek as being important to us. Give us respect for your creation and all its creatures. For your Spirit enable us to recognize the mutual interdependency that we have with everything that you have made. And if we harm one aspect, we in fact will be harming ourselves and the future for our children and grandchildren. Open our minds to new ways of living and finding joy and excitement of being alive on your earth. Gracious God, all these things we ask you to hear and respond to in your mercy and grace. Because it is in the name of Christ that we pray. And all the people said, Amen. As we gather for communion, let us bring to God our offering. Gracious God, we come joyful that we can practice some self-emptying, divesting ourselves of some of what you have given to us in the first place. Guide us continually to look at how we may give of ourselves and of what we have in your service. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. We sing according to thy gracious word in meek humility. There is the invitation, yes. Is that not for him? We just sang that. Take my life, 599. That's all right. So, the Lord, speaking to the churches, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you." And so our Lord invites us to open ourselves to his presence and to have him eat and drink with us. We sing to him, "According to thy gracious word, I will remember thee." The Apostle Paul, on the night of Jesus' arrest and betrayal, that Jesus took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup, and again, giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood, for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. The Apostle Paul reminds us, every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do in fact give testimony to the death of our Lord. As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and offered thanksgiving to God, so too we now offer to God our thanks and praise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, who by his life, death and resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And therefore we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of grace and truth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Gracious and compassionate God, through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of life. From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. Who, though he was in the form of God, but emptied himself, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, therefore God also highly exalted him, so that at the name of Jesus and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Lord our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us in our partaking the very presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we and all your saints be united with Christ and remain faithful in hope and love. Gather your whole church, O Lord, into the glory of your kingdom, the kingdom for which we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. After bread, Jesus said, my body broken for you. The cup, Jesus said, my life given for you. And so here we have, for we who are the people of God, the gifts of God. With the distributing elders, please. This Jesus said, for the remembrance of me. Let us drink with joy the cup of our salvation. Almighty God, we thank you for this supper given to us for the well-being of your creation and all within it. You created us and called us to serve as your people. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us today and every day, so that we as wise stewards may walk in faith, hope and love. In the name and Spirit of Christ. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Redeemer.
Praises I will ever give to thee.
there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, let us be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind which echoes the mind of Christ. You have been in worship and fellowship with your Lord. Go forth now in the strength and assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ goes with you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and remain in you always.